The United Nations estimates that around the world today there are 12 million people who are not recognized as citizens of any country. On paper, they don't exist anywhere. They are people without a nationality. They are stateless. UNHCR has launched a campaign to shed light on the issue, aimed at decreasing the number of stateless worldwide. The campaign comes just days before the 50th anniversary of the 1961 Convention on the Reduction of Statelessness on August 30, 2011. UNHCR spokesman Adrian Edwards says because stateless people are technically not citizens of any country, they are often denied their basic rights.
Statelessness is what happens when you aren't given recognized citizenship or nationality. It affects almost as many people worldwide as there are refugees, around 12 million, by some estimates even more. And importantly, it has absolutely devastating consequences for people affected. For example, you can be denied access to education, you are denied passports, access to medical care and to other basic services. You might not even be allowed a death or a birth certificate. So in effect, you become totally ignored. It's a massive problem, and yet it's going almost completely overlooked. Woefully few states have acceded to the two major statelessness conventions.
Do you have any figures, more or less, or even approximately, on how many people are actually affected by this? Or is it the very fact that they are stateless makes it almost impossible to have exact figures?
That exactly is the problem. There are only estimates of this problem because people are statelessness. When you are stateless, what happens to you is you become, if you like, move to the periphery of society. You don't have documents, you're liable to harassment, you can't access services, you may not be registered anywhere. If you don't have a birth certificate, you don't appear anywhere on records in some places. So counting the numbers of stateless people is a massive problem. However, we do know that it's enormously widespread.
Now, at a very basic level, perhaps just to help our listeners imagine or picture the people who are affected by this, who are we talking about?
Well, statelessness can affect anyone, including any of us or our own families. People can be deprived of nationality for a variety of reasons. It may in some places be discrimination. It may be the result of dissolution of states. If you think for a moment of what happened to the fictional character played by Tom Hanks in the movie The Terminal, or it could be legislative conflicts that result in children being stateless at birth. Internationally, the big situations are, for example, the current situation in Sudan for people affected by the division of the country into north and south, or in Myanmar, the Rohingya people who are not recognized by the state they're in, but also have nowhere to go. But to come back to all of us, it can be much more immediate for many of us. Think of this. If you live or work in a country outside your country of birth, or if you're a single mother in that situation, how confident are you that your children and grandchildren will be able to retain your nationality?
In fact, because even though, for example, in the European Union or, for example, in the United States of America or in many Asian states, it's the conflicting legislation that creates this problem. How much is statelessness being influenced by the global mobility, the increasing global mobility?
Well, statelessness is the risk is that statelessness will increase if nothing is done about it as people become more mobile, as we all live in different countries and our families do the same. It needs something done about it. The UN has 193 member states, yet only 66 have acceded to the first of the two statelessness conventions and 38 to the second convention. It's forgotten, it's overlooked. Too many people think it ended with the Second World War or after the collapse of the Soviet Union. It didn't. It's here right now. And fairly simple changes to legislation in many countries could, in a number of cases, bring about immediate improvements. So we think it needs urgent addressing. It's been overlooked for far too long.
You say a number of very minor changes. Can you talk to us a little bit more about what the UNHCR is calling on governments to accede to in this campaign?
Yes, at a very basic level, think of this. You could, for example, change legislation to make sure that mothers can pass their nationality to their children. This is the case in many countries. It's not the case in all countries. What we are calling for is for states to join these conventions to amend their nationality laws so that they address statelessness better, to find solutions to be able to grant citizenship to people who are statelessness, and to treat stateless people with dignity. So it's really, these are the objectives we have. It's taken 50 years since the second of the two conventions was put into force, and still we have far too few states a party to that. So we're hoping that we will see momentum on that score.
Why aren't the states acceding to it? What are they afraid of?
It's hard to say. This is a problem, as I've said, that is often overlooked or near invisible. You have in this year a number of refugee crises in the world. You've seen the situation in Cote d'Ivoire earlier this year, across the Arab world with the uprising there, and also in the Horn of Africa. Refugee stories will get lots of attention, but when you have similar numbers of people in a stateless situation, they're almost completely overlooked. This means in many cases there's less, if you like, societal pressure to do something about it, and we think that has to change.
At a very human level, being without a state, being without any form of recognition or document, the consequences on the person, this is something you obviously work with in UNHCR, what kind of trauma does this bring to the person?
It can be quite severe. Now, I think it's fair to say that overall we are seeing in many places in the world improvements. And you have, for example, in Nepal, fairly recently seen 2.6 million becoming eligible for nationality on the basis of birth. Or in Bangladesh, the Biharis, for example, are at last being recognized as citizens after an historic decision of the High Court. There are improvements in parts of the world. There are improvements in developed countries that we've seen in recent decades. But clearly, quite a lot more has to be done at this point. What we want to see is that people have access to the rights that go along with citizenship and a nationality, and that they're not pushed, as I've said earlier, to the periphery of society where they're vulnerable to harassment, they're vulnerable to criminality, to trafficking, and so on. We want this brought out of the shadows and addressed, and we believe it can be addressed, the changes that are needed. We're not naive about how difficult they may be in some political situations, but we do think much better progress can be made.
So what form will your campaign take?
Well, we are talking to UN member states to try and encourage a faster pace of accessions. We're putting out this campaign to try and draw attention to the need for action on this issue. We are working with states to make recommendations on legislative changes, things that will really help move this issue forward. But we think it has to be not just an issue that's dealt with in the shadows and in the back rooms. It really has to be an issue that's far more out there in the open, and with far more public awareness of it.